It's your Tire Kingdom Leaderboard Report, brought to you by Tire Kingdom. Service, brakes, batteries, and more. Call 1-800-NEW-TIRE to be directly connected to your closest Tire Kingdom. And after 2 weeks in Hawaii, the PGA Tour has made its way to the mainland, and now they are on the West Coast in California in the desert for the Bob Hope Chrysler Classic, a five-day, 90-hole event, a marathon week out there in the desert on four different courses. The Arnold Palmer-designed PGA West, the Jack Nicklaus-designed PGA West, as well as Bermuda Dunes and Silver Rock. And after four rounds of play, and the cut came yesterday after four rounds at 15 under par, your fourth-round leader after 72 of 90 holes is Steve Stricker. He is at 33 under par, 255, a new 72-hole scoring record on the PGA Tour. Steve Stricker leads by three shots over Pat Perez, who is alone in second, at 30 under par, 258. I mean, these are just ridiculous numbers we're seeing out in the desert this weekend. There is a three-way tie for third. Robert Garrigus, Bubba Watson, and Vaughn Taylor are all at 26 under par, seven shots back of Stricker. John Merrick is solo sixth at 25 under par. Then you've got a bunch of guys at minus 24. That is nine shots back of Stricker. Chris Stroud, Webb Simpson, Richard S. Johnson, Rich Beam, and Tim Clark. But, Pat, after four rounds of this five-round event, Steve Stricker is playing awfully well. Shot rounds of 61 and 62 over the last 2 days, and he is three shots ahead of his closest pursuer in Pat Perez. And then after Perez, it's kind of like a 1-2 up there at the top at minus 33 and minus 30. After Perez, it drops off by another four back to minus 26 for Bubba Watson and Robert Garrigus and Vaughn Taylor. So Stricker effectively has a seven-shot lead over everyone in the field besides the guy he's paired with today, Pat Perez.
Russ, where do you want me to start with this? I mean, I thought the silly season was over a couple months ago. I mean, I understand this is kind of an anomaly. We obviously don't have many five-round PGA Tour events. This is one of them. And the conditions are out there. There's no wind out there. The golf courses are relatively long per se, some of them anyway, these that they play. But nonetheless, some of them are relatively short at 6,900 yards for the PGA Tour. But, you know, if you look at a guy like Kirk Triplett, who shot all four of his rounds so far in the 60s, 67, 69, 69, 65, pretty good scoring. You know, he's 18 under. He's out of it. He's not even close. He's 15 shots off the lead. I mean, there's just some, you know, I know I'm a stickler. I like having tournaments won at, you know, between 5 and 8 under par. I think that's a sort of a fair test. Anything more than 12 under for a tournament for the whole 4 days, I think you're getting more into that goofy golf syndrome. I mean, why don't they just put the guys at about 10 feet off of every green and see if they can get the 18 under for the day? I don't get, you know, to shoot 61, 62 by Steve Stricker, taking nothing away from that. Again, if you did it on a pitch and putt, that's impressive. That's the lowest two back-to-back rounds in PGA history. You know, again, taking nothing away from Steve Stricker, but that should be Tiger Woods doing that, or Phil Mickelson, or Jack Nicklaus, not right. Steve Stricker and Pat right. Perez. You know, who's
never
also
won, he's never even won. Never an event even won.
He had the first two round lead record with the 61-63. He broke Tiger Woods. Tiger is one of the guys holding the record for the first 36 hole lead, and Pat Perez beat that. It just I'm trying to be complimentary here in a way. You know that these guys are world class golfers, but at the same time, they're not in that upper echelon of all time greats, and they should be making these records, and they're doing it because they're playing on, you know, basically on pitch and putt type courses.
Pretty much easy course. They're resort courses. And for the most part, you know, save a couple of resort courses, primarily PGA National, the Champion Course, which is a world-class facility that's, you know, ready to host a major if they wanted to tomorrow. But for the most part, resort courses are cream puff type of courses because it's all being at a resort is all about having an enjoyable experience. And for the most part, resort courses are playable and you know, double-digit handicap friendly. And when you get tour pros on courses like this, they just eat it up. And I tend to agree with you, Pat. Even though I love seeing guys go low and I love seeing records broken, at some point it's just too much. And I think it's reached the point this week where we're seeing records. I mean, we saw a record set by, as you mentioned, by Pat Perez the first 2 days, and then 2 days later, we saw Steve Stricker beat that record because of his last 2 days after four rounds. So at some point, it gets to be too much and almost make-believe golf, and I think we've reached that point this weekend.
Yeah, it's again, I'm trying to be somewhat diplomatic here because I understand they don't do this every week. They don't have these kind of tournaments every week.
And also, it's a pro-am, so you've got a lot of celebrities out there.
There's the other aspect, don't it?
I know you're not a fan of that either, Pat.
That's another one. I'm really getting to the point now. I really think we should have pro golfers that are mandatory in movies that have to have a 5-minute cameo in movies. If we're going to have to endure these goofy celebrities playing golf and laughing and, you know, with their hats on backwards and
doing all chicken dances when they make birdie putts.
All that, then now golfers should be in every movie. They need to have a 5-minute cameo. We need to have, Camilo Villegas in some kind of a Spanish movie
in
or
Grey's
something.
In Grey's Anatomy or something. He could be a visiting doctor.
Exactly. I mean, it's got to go both ways if we're going to allow this to happen. But, I mean, that's a whole other aspect of it that drives me nuts. And that's why I'm just saying, I get golf and enjoy watching it and all that, but this time of year, it almost denigrates the real golf that starts basically when the tour comes back down here to Florida, and all this other stuff out in California is just, it's for the birds, really.
Well, that's why they've said for years, I mean, the axiom for the last 20 years, up until about a decade ago, was that the PGA Tour begins with the Florida swing, and it used to begin at Doral. Now the kickoff event is the Honda Classic, but I think we're getting back to that point.
Absolutely.
For one thing, we're not seeing any of the big names play in Hawaii in either of the two events. The winner's only event or the Sony Open. Tiger hasn't played there in, I think, 5 years. Mickelson hasn't played there in 4 or 5 years. And we're starting to see more players take that approach. Adam Scott being one of them, who hasn't played the Kapalua event in a couple of years, even though he's won on the PGA Tour each year, so he's gotten into the event. So you realize Hawaii's not the starting point, and then California almost isn't either, because we have two pro-ams. We've got Pebble Beach in a couple of weeks, and we've got this weekend at the Bob Hope. Those are kind of silly season type events. We've got the match play, which is a limited field event, so you can't really say that the tour starts with a limited field of 64 players. So the next option is the event after that, which is the Honda Classic, which is a full field event at a world-class facility at PGA National.
That's an excellent point, Russ, because the two great tournaments that I really used to like out on the West Coast, because they were, again, they were kind of anomalies. You had Riviera, which has gone through 15,000 name changes that you don't even know what it is anymore. But that was on, because it was on a great golf course out there, and Ben Hogan made it famous, and guys felt almost an obligation to play in that event because Hogan was associated with it for so long, and it did have that mystique. And then Pebble Beach, as goofy as it was with all the celebrity play, the networks almost, even when Bing Crosby held it, they didn't play it up as much as they do now. That whole Saturday, Russ, Pebble Beach is absolutely, and I'll say it again when we are doing the show about Pebble in a few weeks, it's absolutely the worst viewing day of golf, bar none, for the rest of the year. For one thing, they have 8 zillion commercials, and then every shot you do see on that day is mainly by the celebrities.
You're exactly
it's horrible. Right. It's horrible watching it.
You see more shots from the celebrities than you do from the pros. You're exactly right, Pat. And I feel a little bit differently than you. I'm a little into the celebrity stuff more than you are. I think Pebble Beach, for me, is more watchable than the Bob Hope is. The Bob Hope is
C-level celebs on, for one thing.
I mean, Pebble Beach gets the bigger names, that's for sure. There's no doubt about it. But the one thing about this weekend that I've enjoyed is Arnold Palmer. It's been a lot of fun seeing Arnold in the booth with Rich Lerner and Nick Faldo talking about his memories of Bob Hope. That has been fun to watch. But I agree with you, kind of uncle almost, on seeing all these celebrities hit shots, especially when you're seeing more shots from celebrities than you are from touring pros in a broadcast. That, to me, is ridiculous.
I mean, Sterling Sharpe, that's a guy like they were playing up on the Golf Network on XM this morning that I'm listening to, like Sterling Sharpe, a great player, basically sounded like he's still playing. I'm like, this dude hasn't played in like 10 years, and great player with the Green Bay Packers. I'm like, are you kidding me? He had a couple bogeys out there, but like, they're dissecting his round. I'm like, come on, this guy's a has-been. He's on the NFL Network now. He's not even on mainstream TV, and we're dissecting his round. Ugh, Russ, get me off of it.
Pat, tell me how you really feel.
Jeez, oh man. Every year we got to endure this.
Russ Evans, Pat Rennie Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. on ESPN Radio 760. We are entrenched in our Tire Kingdom leaderboard report, brought to you by Tire Kingdom. Service, brakes, batteries, and more. Call 1-800-NEW-TIRE to be directly connected to your closest Tire Kingdom. If we didn't enjoy dissecting that leaderboard enough, Pat, we've got one more leaderboard. The Champions Tour is officially now underway. Their season has begun in Hawaii. Speaking of Hawaii, they are out in the Aloha State for the Champions Tour season opening Mitsubishi Electric Championship. And after two rounds of play, of course, Champions Tour events, three rounds of play and no cut, so there is no cut this weekend. Brad Bryant leads at 15 under par, 129. Bernhard Langer in solo second at minus 14, 130. That's your final pairing today. That was your final pairing yesterday as well. Solo third, Jay Haas at 13 under par. Then you've got a tie for fourth, Hale Irwin and Jeff Sluman both at minus 12. Andy Bean, the Florida Gator, is a solo sixth at minus 11. Some good names up there, Pat, and a bunched leaderboard. Anyone can pretty much win this thing today.
Well, this is you like the Senior Tour, the Champions Tour, much more than I do. I just think once Nicklaus and Palmer kind of really got out of it, it really left a huge void for me in terms of watchability. Nothing against like guys like Bernhard Langer and Jay Haas. I actually think those two guys could probably still be competing on the PGA Tour if they really wanted to. But there's that loss of magnetism when Jack kind of got out of it, and then Hale Irwin came in and just absolutely scorched this field for so many years that it's kind of taken the interest level out for me in terms of watching Champions Golf. Now, you got some guys coming up like Vijay Singh. I mean, he doesn't, you know, really set the barometer on super high from a personality standpoint, but, you know, it might be interesting to see what he does. But I just view these next couple of years as Bernhard Langer, Jay Haas. Hale Irwin's still in this thing, which is unbelievable. The guy's got to be 70 years old.
He's almost, I think he's 67, if 66 or 67.
So, I mean, you know, it just goes to show you that if you can stay in shape and stuff like that, he has really dominated this thing for like 14 years, which is staggering. But, you know, all the credit goes to Hale for staying in shape and really wanting to, you know, perform well on this stage. But I just don't have the affection for it. I know you do, which is good, and a lot of people do.
But I'm a golf nut. I mean,
you are, and I am too. But this just doesn't do it for me.
I hear you, Pat. It's not for everybody, especially when you have no cuts. A lot of people I know are not fans of the Champions Tour because they don't have any cuts. And you say, how can you have a major championship golf and a big-time tour without having any cuts? And I buy into that. I think that's why still the Champions Tour is behind the LPGA Tour. At least the LPGA Tour still has many four-round events, although a lot of their events are three rounds. But they do have a cut each and every week. So it's except for like the, you know, for instance, like winners only events and things like that. That is your Tire Kingdom leaderboard report, brought to you by Tire Kingdom. Service, brakes, batteries, and more. Call 1-800-NEW-TIRE to be directly connected to your closest Tire Kingdom. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. This is Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic.